Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord has been healing people as we've been singing and making music. You know, just sovereignly touching people. So you've got to come before Him with expectation, but sometimes we're not even expecting anything. And God already knows the need, and He just decides, I'm going to bless you today with this. So be expecting, though, when you come and you open your heart to Him. He's the same God that can raise up from the dead. Amen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same. He's still healing today. He's still saving today. He's still delivering the captives today. He's still breaking the chains of addiction today. Amen. He's opening blind eyes and deaf ears and the lame to walk. Hallelujah. He's the mighty one of Israel. Amen. Our God, our Savior. He is the Most High. All authority has been given unto Him in heaven and on earth. All authority. Did you know that? Not the government, but all authority. The government is upon His shoulders. Belongs to Him. Hallelujah. And we've been delegated authority by Him as His church, as His people to represent Him. Well, praise God from whom all blessings flow. We had a wonderful time yesterday at Glory Barn. Just a sweet presence of the Lord as we worshiped in unity. And so good, isn't it? So good. Just to be in His presence with His people and singing praises. The old chorus says, I love to stand and rejoice. Clap my hands and raise my voice. He set my feet to dancing. He filled my mouth with cheer. He gave me reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Well, I'm a soul that's been set free. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, we got to get past the theology to the reality. From the teaching to the teacher. Hallelujah. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants us to know Him, for this is eternal life. How many know you can know all about God but not know God? You can read all about somebody in a book, but not really know that person personally. But God gives us access to Him so we can know Him through Jesus. Hallelujah. So anyways, happy Father's Day, right? Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And look around. There's a lot of folks not here today. Maybe they're off. I assume they're out visiting Dad or joining with them this morning. But let's keep one another up in prayer. Amen. The battle is raging. Amen. The enemy is out for blood. But we serve the Most High God. Amen. We serve the Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How many know the devil's not even in the same weight class as Jesus? Amen. We're talking about the creation versus the Creator. Amen. But we do need to be paying attention. We need to be vigilant. We need to be awake and alert. Amen. Because he's looking for vulnerabilities. Amen. He's trying to lull, and he's doing it, lulling a lot of people to sleep. Even in the church. Keith Green had a song years ago called Sleeping in the Light. And it can happen. Hallelujah. So you got to open wide the doors, amen, of your heart that you have the key to. God gives you that authorization, amen, to allow or disallow. So it's a relationship of love. It's consensual. We want to know Jesus. We want Jesus to have His way in us. So we open our hearts wide to Him. And you know, we got to get the muddy water out. Amen. We need to get cleansed. We need to be purified in the precious blood of Jesus. Through the blood and through the word, we are cleansed. Amen. So that we can be a receptive vessel to receive the power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, God doesn't bless a mess. Amen. And He doesn't give His Holy Spirit to the disobedient. But He gives His Spirit to the obedient. And so, Lord, help us to be that obedient people. Because, Lord, we know without You we can do nothing. And today, Heavenly Father, I ask that You grant me the grace also to speak, that I may speak the very oracles of God, that we may hear Your voice today, Lord. You will hide me behind the cross in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about the perfect Father this morning. And I'm not it. I am a father, and we have all had fathers, And we've had fathers, most fathers try, amen, to do their best. And the perfect model, of course, for any father is our Heavenly Father. Amen. If you want to know how to be a good father, you need to know the Father of your spirit. Amen. The Father of fathers. Because you're not going to find a perfect example of a father on earth. But those who walk in the ways of the Lord are those who make the best fathers. So God has given fathers responsibility as being head of the home, right? And as being provider, protector, and also to guide our families as well. To teach our children, amen, lead them in the ways of the Lord. And I've tried my best. When my daughter was 5 years old, I won't tell you how old she is now, but when she was five, I think it was about 5 years old, is when I got saved and I gave my heart to Jesus, and things began to shift, began to change. And I knew right away that the Lord wanted me to then take the things that I was learning and share them with my daughter. And you know, we have a responsibility. It's not solely upon the Sunday school, amen, or the children's church, but it's the parents' responsibility to train up their children in the way they should go. Amen. And it doesn't mean that they're not going to take detours, but it does mean that when they're old, they will not depart from it. They will have the foundation, the seed established in their hearts. And I know some of you are still praying for your children. There are some of them are adult children, but you keep praying, because know this, that the word of the Lord will not return void, but it will accomplish what he set it forth to do. Amen. In the hearts, not only of your children, but in others that you have sown into. Keep on sowing, keep on watering. Amen. In the Holy Spirit. And in due season, the appointed time of God. Amen. Harvest time. Amen. They will come. Hallelujah. How many know that somebody sowed into you and I, right? When we were young, many of us, I find so often people that had some type of seed that was planted when they were young. You know, later on, they become, you know, really sold out for Jesus. There was a statistic, and I don't always agree necessarily or even know whether I can believe the statistics. How many know what I'm talking about? But that by the age of 18, if a child has never heard about Jesus, it's a lot harder for them to believe. And, you know, what we want to be as parents, not just fathers, but mothers too, is to be examples to our children. Amen. And of course, we're in this clay vessel. We're going to make mistakes. Amen. But the responsible thing to do is to teach our children being responsible for their own actions. So if I take responsibility for my actions and I apologize to my kid and said, I'm sorry, I was out of line, I was out of order. And that also teaches them a lesson, that they got to understand that we're all in this battle together. Amen. We're living in a world that's filled with devils. Amen. And we have to fight. Amen. To keep our head above the waves. But God is with us in that. He said, when you walk through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. God is with us. And his power, his grace is sufficient. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So don't let the devil beat you down and discourage you because you've made mistakes. Everyone has made mistakes. Would you agree? And if you haven't, I'd like to meet you afterwards. So what we do know is that when we make a mistake or when we sin even, we pray and we ask the Lord to forgive us because he is gracious. He's merciful. He wants to forgive. The devil tells you that you're too bad, that God's mad at you, that God's not going to hear your prayers because you're just too rotten. Well, we don't look at ourselves, but we look at Jesus on the cross. And we say, thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood that atones for my sin. And you said, if I confess my sin, amen, you are faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all. How much? All. So when you confess your sins to God, trust him, amen. Believe that it is settled. Why? Because Jesus has already overcome it. So the sin problem has already been dealt with, and the blood of Jesus is there in heaven itself on the mercy seat on our behalf. Hallelujah. You don't have to walk in guilt and shame. You've come to the one, amen, who took your place. Amen. And call on his name, and it's been paid in full. You can go free. Amen. It's okay to get up again and get back in the race. If you've been out of the race, it's time to get back in. Amen. Because you and I have a short window of opportunity left. Amen. To run this race with perseverance and to gain the prize. Amen. Paul the Apostle said, run to win. Run to win. Don't be sloppy in your walk. Be diligent in your walk. Be diligent in your faith. Amen. Be diligent in your prayers. Be diligent in your study of the Word. Be diligent in your fellowship with the believers. Amen. Be diligent in obedience to what God has told you to do. We need to be awake. We need to be alert. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon. He's coming to rule. And he's coming to reign. Amen. Hallelujah. In order to be a godly person, we've got to have a godly standard. Amen. And our standard is the Lord himself. Amen. He's the perfect one. And he fully represents the Father to us. We can't see the Father, but we can see him in the Son. He's the intermediator. He's the one. He's the bridge, if you will, to the Father. And so, of course, we have flaws as people, but he is the perfect one. And he's the one that we want to pattern our life after, model our life after. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. I want to be like my Father. How many remember the commercial years ago, like Father, like Son? Yeah. But in the Old Testament, God was a mystery. People could not really know God because they were unable to have a personal relationship with him. People could only know about God. But they could not really know him on a personal level. But they could only know about him from a distance, if you will. And as they were taught. And there's a difference between, again, reading about somebody and being personally acquainted with someone. Remember, King David was known after a man after what? God's own heart. Because he sought the Lord and he wanted to know him. And unlike many in his day, David had the privilege of knowing God because he had the Spirit of God upon him. He was anointed, amen, by the Lord. So he had the Holy Spirit upon him. And so he had an advantage that he could know the Lord in a personal way. And he wanted to know the Lord. And most of your Psalms, in fact, it's a book of songs, really. You know, many of them are written by King David. But you can see his heart for God in all of those Psalms, you know. And but it's only through Jesus that we can know the Father. Amen. And it's, again, it's impossible to know God as Father apart from the Son, apart from Jesus. In John 14:8, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. By the way, the title of the message this morning is The Perfect Father. In John 14:9, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Now, let's be clear about this. Jesus never claimed to be the Father. All right? He said that we see God the Father when we see him. He was an express image of him. The reason people don't know God the Father is because they don't know Jesus. In other words, you cannot know God the Father unless you know God the Son. There are millions of people in our world today who have no concept of who the true God is. And the only way to see the Father again is to see Jesus. In John 14:6, remember Jesus said, what? I am the way. The way where? To the Father, right? He's the truth. He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In verse 7, he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. In addition, right? And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And sometimes people will take that and say, well, see, Jesus is the Father. No, that's not what he's saying. He said, I and my Father are one. They're so closely knit together that when you see Jesus, when you hear Jesus speak, it's the Father, amen, that you're seeing and hearing through Jesus, the Son. Everything they do is in harmony. Everything the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit does is in agreement. So he's complete. He's holy. Amen. So there's no disagreement. It's not Jesus doing one thing, the Holy Spirit doing another thing. And any person who claims to be led of the Holy Spirit and is doing something contrary to what Jesus would do, you know that's not of God, right? So what did Jesus do? He always pointed to the Father. So the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and Jesus points us to the Father, right? So we're called to point people to Jesus. That's our responsibility, is to point them to Jesus. And we do so because we have received the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, amen, who will assist us, amen, in presenting Jesus to this world. How can we lead people to faith in God? By pointing people to Jesus. Pretty simple, right? To the Son. In 1 John 2:23, it says this, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. So there are people who will agree, yes, we believe in God, but Jesus was just a prophet or a man who became God, as some would say. But whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So we see that in Islam. Islam teaches that God has what? No Son. But the Bible is very clear in verse 23 again, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. And the Bible makes it clear there is only one mediator, right? In 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now, why does it say the man Christ Jesus? Because he bodily rose on the third day. Amen. In a glorified body. Amen. So there is the God-man. He was 100% God and 100%, amen, man. So he's the God-man, the man, Christ, anointed one, right? Jesus, the Son. Hallelujah. So there are not many ways or mediators between God and man, as some would falsely claim. And when we preach Jesus, we are introducing people to the only way to God, the only way to salvation. And this is important that we really understand this, because the world is being fed a lie that there are many ways, many choices that you can make to get to God. It all depends on what you want to do or who you want to choose to be an intermediator. But the Bible is clear that there is only one way to the Father, and that is only through Jesus. Remember Saul, this was later on Apostle Paul, when he was converted, he had a personal life encounter, life-changing encounter with Jesus. And look what happened in Acts 9 and verse 20. Immediately, somebody say immediately, he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is what? The Son of God. In Acts 8 and verse 5, here's Philip the evangelist. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Why? Because Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way to the Father. So the disciples, they went to great efforts to help people see the Father by seeing Jesus. If you've seen me, Philip, you what? You've seen the Father also. We see the Father in the face of the Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Colossians 1 and verse 15, he, speaking of Jesus, is the image, which means exact likeness or exactly like God, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, some teach erroneously, is that the right word, that firstborn means, see, well, Jesus was a created being. But they don't understand the Hebrew culture and what was meant by firstborn in context of this. Firstborn is actually figurative speech. It means a place of superiority or uniqueness. New Living Translation says it this way: Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. In the beginning was what? The Word, right? Word was with God, the Word was God, and is supreme over all creation. So, again, some cults use this passage to try to say that Jesus was a created being like us. And that's why it's so important that we pray and we study the Scriptures. And we allow the Holy Spirit to open our understanding to know what is true. You cannot know what is true except by the Holy Spirit. Amen? The human mind is not capable of understanding the truth. We need the mind of Christ revealed by the Spirit of the Lord. So in the book of Exodus, God instructed Moses concerning the nation of Israel. In Exodus 4:22, he says, "Then you will tell Pharaoh, him, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my what? Firstborn son." Now, obviously, he's not literally speaking of a firstborn, a nation being a son, but it's figurative. And here God is describing Israel as having a distinctive place in his plans and his purposes. So when you hear firstborn, it has to do with preeminence or a unique assignment, maybe first in order, could also be firstborn. And another example, of course, was King David. He was actually the last born son of Jesse, remember, according to the flesh. And Eliab was the firstborn, but God gave David a place of unique supremacy and sovereignty. He gave David, the lastborn, the place of the firstborn. Do you see that? So regarding Jesus, in Hebrews 1 and verse 1, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who did he make the worlds through? Christ, Jesus. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians 1 and 18, Christ also, the head of the church, which is his body, he is the beginning, supreme over all who what? Rise from the dead. So he is first in everything in the new created order. Amen. As remember again, Jesus was raised what? In a glorified body that will not perish, that will not corrupt. Amen. And you and I who die in Christ will also receive a glorified body someday. So for God in all of his fullness, it says in verse 19, was pleased to live in Christ. That means he was incarnate, God in flesh. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So because the Father is invisible, Jesus came to reveal him to us so they could touch and handle and speak to. And Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father so they could know the Father on a personal level rather than just a God who was maybe way out there somewhere that you could only learn about but not actually know. And it says in John 4:24, God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So it's not about just singing along with a song. It's you must be regenerated. You must be, amen, receive the Spirit of Christ or the Spirit of his Son into your heart. And when you are born again, amen, then you begin to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Dearest Father. which is really an Aramaic and a Greek word kind of combined to speak of a special place in the household. You see, a slave could not call the father of the household Abba. Only sons and daughters could call the father Abba. So when we're born again, amen, through Jesus Christ, we become children who can now have a personal relationship with our Abba, our Father. And we can call upon the Father. We can come to the Father through Jesus, amen, the intermediator and the only way. So how can we see the Father? Well, again, by seeing Jesus, who is the exact representation. Hallelujah. In John 1:18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son," by the way, that's New Testament. "The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." How do we see the Father? Through Jesus. In the face of Jesus, amen, we can see the face of the Father. Hallelujah. I want to use this example because it's also in nature itself. But you know, the moon is scarred, you know. But the moon reflects the glory of the invisible sun. You can't see the moon until the sun goes down. Amen? And so it is that Jesus, being the express image of what? Of the Father, reflection of the Father. Hallelujah. And isn't it interesting that Jesus said to his people that you are the light of the world? He said to Abraham, your descendants will be like the stars of the heavens. Come on, the lights. The little lights, amen? We see the sun in the night through the reflection, amen, of the moon. We look to Jesus, we see the Father, amen? His image, hallelujah. How do we see Jesus? Well, I say this often, but you can't learn Jesus simply in a classroom. He must be revealed. It's not enough just to learn about Jesus. You must know Jesus. And he is revealed to us by the Spirit and the Word. It is the Holy Spirit that opens the Word of God to us so that we can behold and see Jesus. I remember being at a Seder meal one time, which is like their Passover, and a reflection on Christ being our Passover lamb. And I can remember as we were taking of the elements and the unleavened bread that was scarred, you know, and marked as a sign of the bread of heaven. Amen. Jesus, who became our sacrifice, amen, for our healing. He was broken that we might be healed. And then the wine, of course, that speaks of his blood. And life is in the blood. Amen. And I can remember saying, you know, I really saw Jesus today as revealed by the Spirit, even through the elements. But I was getting to know exactly who this Jesus is. Do you actually know him as Father? Do you know him as the one who really loves you? Do you believe that God really loves you? We need to know how much God loves us. How much God always loved us, even when we were enemies. It was God the Father who took the initiative. And Jesus was willing to go. The Word, who was with him in the beginning, became a man, became flesh, and demonstrated, even as the Father had loved the world, Jesus demonstrated through the blood of the cross how much he loves us, that he was willing to pay the price we deserve to pay. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man would give his life for his friends. And yet Jesus gave his life for his enemies. Because he loves us. You need to know that. Because the enemy wants to put everything upon your performance and how well you do. Because he wants to rob you of confidence towards God. You don't put your confidence in yourself. You don't put your faith in your ability to be faithful. You put your faith in the only one who is faithful and true. Amen. And the only one that can forgive you. The only one that can reconcile you to the Father. Bring you back into right relationship. Back into harmony with the Father. We look to Jesus. Amen. And we are saved. We call upon His name and we are rescued. So Jesus perfectly represents our Heavenly Father. John 5:19, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He sees the Father do. Do you see, it's so clear in Scripture that Jesus is not the Father, as some would say. He says, I'm doing what I see my Father do, right? For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. And there's that like Father, like Son. So the Father just didn't leave us here to guess about Him. But God came, amen, and revealed Himself through the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. For John 3:16 says, God was so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, only begotten Son speaks of full deity of Christ. Amen? Along with the Father. If Jesus was not fully God, He could not adequately represent God the Father. We're all flawed. Amen? Only God Himself could reveal God to us in perfection. Amen. He was the exact representation. Here it is again, John 1:1. How many know this? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every false religion in the world fails at this point. They deny the full deity of Jesus Christ. Every false religion in the world. And again, John 10:30, Jesus said, I and the Father of one. And of course, they wanted to stone Him for claiming that He was God when He was. He said, you being man claim to be God. Well, He was man, but He was God. And He was the only perfect man. He was the only sinless man. Why? Because He had to be without sin in order to be the perfect sacrifice for us. In 1 John 2:22, who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Again, you can't say you have the Father if you don't have the Son, because you cannot come to the Father except through the Son. So anyone that denies the deity of Jesus Christ and is being the way to the Father is a spirit of Antichrist, is operating in the spirit of Antichrist or against the Son, against the Christ. Amen. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh, and here it is, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 4:3 says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. What does that mean? Well, we're all born in the flesh. But a denial really of the deity of God, of who was Jesus, who was God. Amen? God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, in the person of the Son, and revealed the Father to us. So anyone that denies that is operating in the spirit of Antichrist. He says it's not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And of course, there was also they were speaking to the Gnostics, about the Gnostics who denied that Jesus actually had a physical body, that He was just a spirit being, which is a lie, because He had to take upon Himself the form of a man. He had to come in the likeness of sinful Adam in order to be the sacrifice for the sins of Adam. He had to take upon Himself a body, and that body had been prepared to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. So anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, is of that spirit of Antichrist. And anyone who denies the Son is denying the Father also. They don't know the Father, because you cannot know the Father except through Jesus the Son. No one can come to the Father but by me. We have a great high priest and intermediator. Amen. We have an intercessor in heaven. Hallelujah. That ever lives to make intercession on behalf of the saints, us, the people of God. Hallelujah. So we come to the Father through Jesus the Son. Hallelujah. Jesus and the Father are in complete harmony, complete unity. Jesus exactly represents, manifests, and makes known the Father. So if you know Jesus, you can know the Father. Lost people cannot see God because they do not know the one He sent. So what do? We present Jesus to people. We point people to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And Jesus then points people to the Father. He's the way to the Father. So it's not mere belief in God's existence that brings salvation. It is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that brings us into this new birth and gives us entrance into the kingdom of God. As you and I introduce people directly to Jesus, He enables them to know God as their Father. Jesus must be the central theme of our preaching. Amen? Our teaching or our witnessing. What did they do? What did Philip do? He presented Christ to people. He spoke of Jesus. Amen. You need to turn to Him. He is the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can bring you back into fellowship with the Father. There is no other way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. In John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Father, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent," not without the Son. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take the gospel, amen, to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. In John 6:40, "And this is the will of Him who sent me," Jesus said, "that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." So if we're looking for the perfect example of a Father, how we want to be as fathers, as people, amen, we need to look to Jesus, who reveals the Father, the heart of the Father to us. Because you're not going to find it on earth, amen. However, those who walk in the ways of the Lord do make the best fathers. Could you agree with that? Hallelujah. In 1 John 4:16, I finish with this. "We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them." That's the Word of God. Do you believe it? In verse 17, "And as we live in God, in relationship through Jesus," amen, "our love grows more complete," or perfect. "So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment." When you're at peace with the Lord and you're walking with Jesus, you're not walking in fear. You're not in fear of death. But we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah.